Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On November 3rd, 2009, voters in the Samuel Miller District go to the polls to elect their representative on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. This recording is Brian Wheeler's September 1st, 2009 interview with Madison Cummings, the Democratic candidate campaigning for the seat. Mr. Cummings faces two opponents, Republican Dwayne Snow and Independent John Lowry.
Mr. Cummings, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio and written transcript for this interview will be available on the Internet. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of Charlottesville Tomorrow's nonpartisan voter guide. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed vote on issues related to land use, transportation, and community design. As you are aware, some of the questions you will be asked have been provided in advance. Others have not. All supervisor candidates will be asked the same questions. Are you ready to start?
Yes.
All right. The first question, please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on the Board of Supervisors.
We have lived here for 31, actually in the Central Virginia area for 39 years, and have lived in the county for 31 years. I've been a member of the school board from 1994 to 2001. I was a member of the Charlottesville-Albemarle Commission on Children and Families from 2002 to 2008, and chair of that group for the last 2 years. I've been a member of the Cove Garden Ruritan Club for the last 25 years, serving as treasurer and as president. I've served on several boards, and I know how board mechanics and board psychodynamics work, and I know how to prepare a budget with my colleagues of, well, at that time it was in the range of $100 million, over, a little bit over. On the school board and the Commission on Children and Families, I worked with city residents and board members about and that will enhance my ability to work with City Council on joint endeavors in the future. I was on KTEC while I was on the school board and for 7.5 years, and was able to work with the city people in that regard too. I was able to keep alive an advisory committee, keep it viable for all 8 years of my term on the school board. I've been a member of the Albemarle County Schools Health Advisory Council and the chair this year for 4 years. I've been on the African American Teaching Fellows Board, which helps to enhance teaching careers for African Americans so that we can hire them in our city schools. I also, way back, I used to coach soccer and have worked with youth significantly for over 10 or 12 years, soccer and baseball. I was also PTO chair and built playgrounds at Red Hill during the 80s. So I served on the Commission on Children, served on the Blue Ribbon Commission for Education in the 21st century in 1990-91. My experience, and also the fact that I feel like I feel compelled to give back to the county because my family is richly benefited from living in Albemarle County. All three of our children went to school here and finished school here, and two still live in the community. I also have two grandchildren who want me to do this. I'm kidding.
Question number two. Do you support the formation of a regional transit authority with the city of Charlottesville? What are your regional transportation priorities, and how do you recommend we fund them in the absence of new state funding and without the ability to raise a local sales tax?
Yes, I support the formation of the Regional Transit Authority, on which the board is a co-equal partner. It should be, and we may consider not just the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle County, but perhaps even farther afield. There should be a true regional approach to getting people out of their autos and into public transportation. My priorities at this were to look at the commuter train, which has been discussed, that may go to Crozet and the Valley to lessen congestion on 250 West. Also on 250 West, I've actually researched this and found that there is a roundabout design for the Owensville Road 250 intersection, which is a real problem and a real source of congestion. But that's on the 2015 state transportation budget, VDOT budget. I think that this has occurred. The lights at Ednam and Farmington have now been, entrances have now been coordinated, so that may have been resolved. I'd like to enhance the mission of Jaunt and added funding for the rural areas, because I think that that has been a real success for folks out in the rural areas. And as much as anything, lobby our legislators not to devolve, and there's a word that you're, I'm sure, familiar with, devolution, and that's the state dumping responsibilities onto localities. And both talked with David Blunt about this, and the Dillon rule, and also this is just something that happens. But the Virginia Municipal League and VACO, the Virginia Association of Counties, are trying to get the legislators not to send any more responsibilities to the localities. There is a discussion of devolving transportation, which I can't even imagine the budget that would need. Funding. I think that we are able, and this is something we're going to have to try to convince our legislators of, to establish a referendum to make transportation improvements. The General Assembly generally says no new taxes, but it wouldn't be exactly a tax revenue designated referendum, but a public local request to improve options to the automobile and improve transportation in the area. And the state, frankly, has been irresponsible in the area of transportation, and that, you know, slows down our ability to get people out of cars in this area.
Question number 3. The next Board of Supervisors will review the Places 29 Master Plan. What do you think are the key ingredients that need to be in that plan to gain your support?
Places 29, as one of the members of the Planning Commission has said to me, it is a transportation plan. Well, it's obviously a lot more than that. He was kidding. But one of the designs of Places 29 is to plan transportation as we're planning land use and development. Therefore, as developments are made, roads should accommodate them, especially parallel roads like Berkmar, to get traffic off 29, and that's one of the parts of the plan. The problem with transportation funding may slow down development, but when it picks up, we should have commercial, recreational jobs near the residential areas, so that communities are walkable and bikeable. Enhanced public transit should also be part of that plan, in an attempt to reduce the local trips and enhance the safety, obviously, and the less congested flow of traffic, particularly on 29. We should use whatever mix of alternative means of travel we can employ. So I think that that's a good plan. It is going to be expensive, and I'm sure it'll be revamped 30 times before the decisions are made. But we're not exactly designing the airplane while we're flying it. But I think that there is a significant opposition in the community for whatever reason, but I believe it's going to go forward. We should obviously get ready for the onslaught of new NGIC employees that are going to be probably settling in that area. I don't know when that starts, but it's imminent. I think this comes up in number 10, but we also need to address the 1990, and I thought it was 1992, three-party agreement with UVA, City Council, and Board of Supervisors, the 29 North Corridor Agreement, which is in number 10, particularly the grade-separated interchanges at Rio and Hydraulic, which I think will amazingly affect the traffic. But I think traffic is going to continue to increase, but we're also slowly getting people wised up to the negative aspects of it as far as quality of life and as far as sitting, wasting days, hours a day in an automobile.
Great. Question number 4. In what circumstances would you support an expansion of Albemarle County's designated growth areas?
If we hope to encourage workable development like the just discussed in Places 29, and walkable development as well, I meant walkable, pardon me, we really can expand the growth areas. I would like to keep the rural area as pristine as possible. Multi-boards of supervisors over the last 25 years have tried to maintain the rural area except for by right development, which is something you can't stop. But to have tried to focus the growth, smart growth, in the urban ring, and it's been zoned that way, and I think that their decisions have been correct. I, frankly, am in favor of perhaps more. Therefore, I'm not sympathetic to any expansion of the growth area. I'm informed by a member of the Board of Supervisors there's still plenty of areas for development in the already zoned urban ring, and I would like to stay with that. I'm a strong advocate of reasonable, smart growth. Growth is inevitable, but it should be smart and it should be targeted to the urban ring. There's plenty of area to focus on there.
Question number five. If you were to provide direction today to the county executive on the development of the next Albemarle County annual budget, what would you tell him?
Well, it'll be the same thing I told Bob Tucker several years ago when the Board of Supervisors approved a tax rate that I felt was too low, not just for education, but for the social services and the recreation and other areas. I felt then, as I did this recent budget cycle for the 2010 budget, that we needed to build an appreciable rainy day fund. In the past, rainy day fund has kind of been the CIP budget. And in interviewing Tom Foley, who's the budget assistant county executive for budget, that's pretty much been the case. And I know that the reason that was done this past year was because of the perilous state of the economy, and I can understand that. Nevertheless, I feel like by being penny wise and pound foolish, we've lost the ability to address some of those CIP projects, the capital improvements budget projects, in what's probably the best bid climate since before we built Monticello High School. And you've probably heard me say, Brian, that I was pestering Carol Hastings and Kevin and Al Reeser to build Monticello High School have it open a year earlier. And as it turned out, when we did decide to build it, the bid climate was absolutely lousy. And I saw Al Reeser at the fair a month ago, and I said, "What do you recollect about that?" He said, "I remember you were adamant about that, and if we had bid it a year before, we would have saved $2 million. And as you recall, the school board was pilloried for the cost of Monticello High School, which now looks like... not pennies, but nevertheless, it's the next one. Whenever we have to build it, the next one will be significantly more expensive. At any rate, this budget taking $100 million off the CIP budget was just it was a shame. And I've actually talked to Bill Lettieri in the county, and he gave me several examples of things that we could have gotten because of the bid climate being so good, and because there is unemployment, so people are looking for jobs and people are looking for work. One example is the Crozet Library, on which if we had gotten started on it this year or this budget cycle, we would have saved 15%, and them's big bucks. So I also feel that there was a shortchanging of our employees. I know that the schools folks said, "Well, if we'll save our jobs, we're willing to put up with a no salary increase." But I feel like we should have had at least some maybe even 0.5% to say to folks, "We appreciate your labors and we appreciate your work." We've also We've also been a freezing of something like 55 jobs, and I don't know where that's going to go the next budget cycle, but I'm hoping that we'll look at that again. But frankly, I mean, I feel like in the 8 years I was on the school board, I did responsible budgeting, and we did responsible addressing of the needs, and occasionally we would have an opportunity to address something that we hadn't addressed, and that would be an initiative which we needed to prove to the citizens and also the Board of Supervisors was a reasonable request. So I'm all about responsible budgeting, but at some point we must encourage our citizens to realize that when the state and federal revenues are being reduced the way they are to the localities, we really need to step up, and that even includes when we're in a recession. As I mentioned with the CIP budget, sometimes you can help to address a recession by projects, and that's, of course, why some of the stimulus packages for shovel-ready projects around the country. So that would be my advice to Bob. My colleagues may not agree.
Question number six. In August 2009, Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population, or ASAP, released the first report in their research seeking to identify an optimal sustainable population for the community. Should the Board of Supervisors explore policies that would cap the county's population growth at a number below the potential build-out population? Why or why not?
As Jack Marshall will tell you, I've been a member of, or contributor to, I guess is the best way to put it, to ASAP for the last couple of years, because I think it's reasonable to look at where we're going. Obviously, in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, we were terrified that we were Fairfaxing the county. I don't think that's going to happen. I think everybody is pretty much alert to the fact that we don't want to have a huge onslaught of population. But if we, so I'm sympathetic to some of the policies and some of the members of ASAP. I think perhaps several I won't go there. But actual capping of the county's population sounds too much like locking the doors, I wouldn't agree with that. This is an attractive, beautiful, as we all know, wonderful. The ambiance is delightful here, and it's a great place to live. But if we need to address a rapidly growing Albemarle population as a member of the board, to the point where it becomes untenable, then capping, could be achieved through zoning decisions. We're sort of doing that, I guess, with the zoning decisions to keep the development in the urban ring, but that's not exactly same sort of thing. The ASAP report is evidence that we're over. The capping can be achieved through zoning decisions. If we were to see that there's evidence that we're overwhelming our resources, our infrastructure, our quality of life, and also our health because of the numbers of automobiles and toxic stuff coming from those, board would address it. If our community senses that we're becoming too crowded or approaching that, they will certainly weigh in on the problem at public hearings, and the Board of Supervisors will surely respond to that. There may have to be mandates as to population per development or some sort of drastic measure like that. I can't imagine that would happen, but I believe that this community is such that we'll wise up before that has to happen. And as you know, we have multiple public hearings on issues, so I think that will be addressed. I think the fact that the county decided to help fund this research that ASAP is doing on sustainable population indicates that the Board of Supervisors is sympathetic to maintaining a reasonable population. I don't know whether it's in the 200 range or the 250 range. I know that they've kind of been gobsmacked, shall we say, by the way the Crozet development has happened. So that's kind of a wake-up call as far as the rest of the county, I think.
Question number seven. Should the community invest in repairing or enlarging the existing Lower Ragged Mountain Dam built around 1908 as part of the 50-year community water supply plan? Why or why not?
Absolutely. I'm totally in favor of the community water supply plan, and I'll address that when I come down here. I'm persuaded that I've actually seen a film of the dam, and it looks sort of like some of the building and the reinforcing and so forth of the dam, not just below the dam to make sure that it would be able to maintain its present damaged or whatever, perilous status. I'm persuaded that the dam needs to be replaced. So that being said, and that's, of course, why the four of the six candidates for the Board of Supervisors have stood up and said we are in favor of the water plan. But the biggest problem with the plan is folks are worried about where you stop. Do you build it at 40 feet? Even people who agree haven't decided exactly to where that happens. But the dam is in terrible shape, and since we've seen, discovered the crack in the bedrock in the bedrock granite under the dam, we need to seal that crack. I understand that can be done. That's an interesting that bedrock would be cracked like that. But nevertheless, we don't want to build a dam and then have the water creek go out of the crack like I think happened in Montgomery County. A lake just lost its water down there. I would prefer to go with the 45-foot dam as a replacement. Because the cost of the dam is the base in the first 30 to 40 feet. You get your biggest bang for your buck in the last 5 feet because of the spread of the water. And so you get the largest acre feet of water, or per dollar, if you want to put it that way. So it's efficient economically. We may, in discussing it with the city council, decide not to go with the 45 feet. We may drop it. But I doubt right now we're permitted at 45 feet. The storage, because of the possibility of drought, is an added advantage of the dam. And also the option of being able to draw our public water from our own watershed. We have the good fortune of being able to do that. Those folks in Louisa and Fluvanna do not. I went to several of the discussions of the dam and the water, and drawing from the James is not nearly so good a plan. That was one of the options discussed. I live on a stream in North Garden, which feeds the Hardware, South Fork of the Hardware. There's actually a discussion of the health of the Hardware tonight at Walton Middle School I'm going to, and we've lost our stream, which is a good, strong stream, twice in this decade. It's actually stopped running. And that water goes to the Hardware, which feeds the Rivanna and the James. So when my stream is down during a severe drought, then obviously everything else will be as well downstream. I do, as I say, feel like we need to replace the dam and do it right. And the dredging, I guess I can discuss that later when I talk about the other.
Question number 8. If you could focus on one area for improved partnership with the city of Charlottesville during the next 2 years, what area would that be?
Improved partnership with Charlottesville should be several of those projects that have been going on and being discussed for some time. Help them get to the point where they complete the Meadow Creek Parkway with what would be either an efficient grade separated interchange. I guess they probably can't do a roundabout there at McIntyre and 250, but that might be a. I like roundabouts once people get used to them, but they may need to do a grade separated there. So that would be one thing. Proceed with vetting public hearings and trying to use the advantageous bid climate to proceed with the water plan, and that's another issue. I think the bid climate will be here for a while. I think it's going to take a while for the economy to recover, so let's take advantage of that. I'd love to see schools do more together. I tried to broach the topic of transportation when I was on the school board and do a joint transportation. We looked at it, not in depth, but looked at it, and Kevin was not willing to for us to get sidetracked on that when we had 100 other things to address. But I think that may save money for both school divisions. And we do some things together, as I mentioned, K-Tech Prep Board and other areas. And the schools are starting to meet. School divisions, school boards are starting to meet more regularly. I don't know how frequently you folks meet, but that was something that I wanted to do early on when I joined the board. And of course, we were dealing with reversion at that time, so when I first came on the board. So anyway, we eventually got to that point. My experience on K-Tech School Board, CCF, and even on Mitch Vanieri's Road Backpack has provided me with positive experiences in working cooperatively with city folks and city decision makers. And I think the bona fides developed during these years will help me in cooperative efforts with city council. Revenue sharing I'll address when we get over here. I guess when I discussed the water plan, I meant to mention that there is a significant infrastructure issue when we are addressing the water plan as far as the pipes. So that's something that we need to do together. But we need to all appreciate that we're one community, and we need to take that approach. And there always will be rough spots.
Question number 9. What are your priorities for economic development and workforce development in Albemarle? And a follow-up, do we have sufficient land for office, commercial, and industrial development within the designated growth areas?
Well, I served on the K-Tech board, as I mentioned, for 7.5 years. And K-Tech's advisory board of businessmen in the trades helped show the way for workforce development and came to the K-Tech board when they saw an opportunity to address some issues of availability of more workforce opportunities. PVCC also does an excellent job in this. Both school systems contribute talent to developing curriculum, in some cases designed to aid development of workforce. Business communities' involvement in the school system, which was spearheaded by Kevin Kastner, that was not the case before he came, but he got the business community much more involved. It was CASBA at the time, and I think you have a different name for it. But the schools and the businesses working together helped push this in the right direction for our students. We may need to make sure that the business entities that are desiring to establish here in our area are planning to hire locally and should be encouraged in that by both council and Board of Supervisors to do so. We should be also encouraging affordable housing for our county workforce, and I think we're doing that, but we can do a lot more in that area, particularly police, fire rescue, and educators. The land available for office, office, commercial, and industrial development within the growth areas. There is available land in the growth areas, though not enough land sellers hoping to find instead of sell it for commercial, they're hoping to find a better deal if they sell to developers or other entities. The way to encourage this is to take a very strong stand, as I just did earlier, on not expanding the growth areas boundaries. So once people are convinced that the growth area is going to stay as is, then those areas that are available for commercial will be used.
Question number 10. Do you support the three-party agreement reached in 1990 between Albemarle, Charlottesville, and the University of Virginia, which identified a sequence of transportation projects to be completed before the construction of a western bypass of U.S. Route 29?
Yes, in a word. I think the parallel roads and the safer roads and the making 29 as safe as possible, and the improvement even more so by VDOT after that horrible tragedy for that child up near the airport. We're supposed to be moving toward mass transit, but mainly the three-party agreement was about the grade-separated interchanges. And So, and I know that the at least one part of the chamber is violently opposed to that. Or not violently, but opposed. But I think that if we can find a way to accommodate those businesses that will be imperiled or impacted by building the grade separated interchanges, I think that's going to improve our traffic flows so much. As you know, those are two real choke points in the 29 North movement of traffic. As far as the Western Bypass, I'm totally opposed. I think it was not long enough to begin with. It's now too expensive and would only remove something like 20%, if that, of the traffic is flow through. 80% of our traffic on 29 North has been done by studies is local traffic. So, and I know the people in Danville and Danville and Lynchburg would love to have it, and they do have some nice bypasses down there. But the bypass should have been designed to go east. It should have been go down 15, and they dropped the ball on that, the state and localities as well, I guess.
Question number 11. Given the long funding and implementation period for multi-jurisdictional projects like the Meadow Creek Parkway and the Community Water Supply Plan, what are the advantages and disadvantages to the current Board of Supervisors revisiting previous board's decisions regarding such projects?
Every Board of Supervisors should be about analyzing and debating the wisdom of projects, holding public hearings, vetting various options, and finally making a decision. Once a decision is made by the board, unless new counter evidence is discovered before the decision is to be implemented, that board, even with one or several members, even with one or several new members, should go forward. An example is the water plan, which was agreed upon by the Board of Supervisors and City Council in 2006. Now two members of the Board of Supervisors and four members of the City Council have been replaced, have changed over since that decision was made. Nevertheless, unless there are drastic differences or radically changed circumstances regarding the project, the two government entities should go forward. The advantages to revisiting are to make sure the right decisions were made. The disadvantages are that nothing gets accomplished. That sometimes has been the case in the city and county, and the Meadow Creek Parkway would be a prime example. Nevertheless, I think the responsible thing is to make sure that you've vetted things as carefully and as well as you have, and that's why I'm in favor of the water plan.
Question number 12. Should Albemarle County officials be able to revisit or renegotiate their past decision on the 1982 revenue sharing agreement with the city of Charlottesville? Why or why not?
Having talked to county folks, haven't talked to any city folks about this, but if I were a city council member, I don't know that my constituency would be very happy with me if I were to say we're going to give the county back this money that we made a contract to receive back in the 80s. And the reason for the agreement, Tom Mickey was the one who was a wonderful legislator, was the one, I think it was called the Mickey package or the Mickey bill or whatever. But anyway, it's a contract we've made, and it's something that I'm persuaded the attorneys have said that it's not actionable, if you want to use the legal term. It's not it's a deal we made, and the deal is there, and so we live with it. Now, as to shared projects, I've talked to Lee Catlin about this, and she said that there's been some discussion about using that revenue sharing funds for shared projects, and I can think of one that would be one that's a prime project, and that's the water plan, and particularly the addressing the infrastructure, the pipes. The pipes are in a terrible state, probably in as bad a state as the state of the dam. And I understand, I was not aware of this, but in talking to a member of the Board of Supervisors, the sewer pipes, which the city has, are really in bad shape. So they, not just the clean water pipes coming to the city, but and some of those pipes are in the county. That's just one of several. You know, the jail, we work together with them, with the jail and KTAC and a bunch of things, the PDC and those sorts of things. But wherever we can find an area that revenue sharing money can be used for joint projects, that would make the county people who are absolutely adamant that we shouldn't be doing it and that we should be able to sue them and get it back. I don't think it's going to happen. So why not work on shared projects?
Question number 13. In June 2006, the city and county signed off on a 50-year water supply plan that includes a new dam at Ragged Mountain Reservoir and a new pipeline connecting it to the South Fork Ravana Reservoir. Do you support this plan? Why or why not?
Yes. Actually, I've said it in public. Four of the candidates for the Board of Supervisors have come forward back in the middle of August and said that we are in favor of this plan. And one of the other members had already said that on his website back in June or July, but chose not to be part of that. I don't know for what reason, I can't understand. But nevertheless, it's a good plan. It's from our own watershed. It saves the Beecham and Mormons rivers. The storage capacity aspect of it is a smart thing. As I've already mentioned in some of them already in this interview, it's a frightening thing when you think of the situation of severe droughts, and so having storage and the pipeline is, most of the pipeline goes on UVA property, so it will impact people. The construction of the dam will impact people. I already have somebody I need to talk to in the Edna Forest community who's not happy about this, and we need to as much as possible make it as with considering what construction does, make it as great a project as it can be. I attended, as I mentioned, several of those meetings about the and discussions, and actually spoke out and said that I think that the drawing water from the James was not a good idea. So I think it's a great plan, and I'm fully in support of it. And I think we're at some future time, and probably because we just need to generally, the reservoir has not been dredged, and if we are to find a buyer for the dredge, or the sludge, or whatever you want to call it, then entrepreneurial or PRN dredgings should be an option in the future. I'm not happy about seeing the cost of the study to do the dredging go up, and I'm hoping that City Council and the Board of Supervisors will try to keep that under control. But they've chosen a firm, and so we'll see where that goes.
Question number 14. What is your top priority for action by the Board of Supervisors if you are elected?
Well, except for the water plan, I would say that education, obviously being a member of the Board of Supervisors, I mean, being a member of the school board, my wife is an educator, and I think I did some educating over the years with coaching and so forth. It should be the top priority of a community. Educating our youth is the most important responsibility of a community. It is 60% of the budget and should be, and it's been 60% more or less, as you know, Brian, and that should be our top priority. Obviously, all the other things, which I will mention in number 16, I'll mention later.
Question number 15. Do we have appropriate resources in county government to achieve the objectives in the county strategic plan? And a follow-up, in what way, if any, do we need to make changes, and what impact will your recommendations have on staffing and the annual budget?
An answer to the first one would be no. I don't feel that we do. The second question, we needed, as I mentioned earlier in this interview, we needed more this year. I actually went on record in the newspaper, not knowing, saying at the time, with the with the proviso that I was not privy to all of the discussions by the members of the board in setting this 2010 fiscal year budget. But I felt like if they'd gone to 77 cents, they would at least have addressed some of the salary issues to some degree, perhaps not had to freeze the 55 positions. And particularly the loss of real opportunities on the CIP budget, short changes, and also what I mentioned earlier, the rainy day fund, which we should always have when issues arise. So right. So I'm all about fiscally responsible budgeting, but you budget for needs, you don't budget for wants. If you're in a flush year, you might address them one or two, but it doesn't look like the budget, the revenue situation is going to be very positive for the next few years. Nevertheless, I don't think we can shortchange our employees another year, and I don't think we can continue to put things off on the CIP budget.
Question number 16, what do you see as the primary responsibilities of the Board of Supervisors?
Well, I did five. There are probably six or eight more. But the first one, as I mentioned earlier, is education. That's got to be number one. Fiscally responsible budgeting, that should be, goes without saying. Maintain our rural integrity, that's very important, while allowing for healthy, smart growth in the urban ring. We should maintain our enviable quality of life. We're on any number of lists of this is a wonderful place to live, whether it's tennis or books or the fact that we have two wonderful medical facilities in our community. It's a great place to retire. The climate is temperate. It's the air is clean. The transportation's not so great, but it's we should maintain that, obviously. And as much as anything, I feel like we need to do a better job. As I mentioned earlier, Municipal League and the Virginia Association of Counties, we do need to do a better job of lobbying our legislators for greater consideration of local needs, education, roads, affordable housing. I think that we've been shortchanged, frankly, by the state. I'm hoping that will change as a result of this fall election. We'll see. I'd like also to see us, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to see us do some more with affordable housing. I'd like to see more cooperation and in moving forward on projects with the city. And I'd really like to, I haven't mentioned this and it wasn't asked, but you've heard about the local war movement. I'd like to see much more emphasis on local, particularly local foods, because that helps to keep the keeps the farm community viable and fiscally healthy or financially healthy. I'd really like to see us emphasize that more and be more accommodating to small businesses, even home businesses. So any way that we can enhance the local community as far as buy local, you know, not just buy local in food products, but any number of things. So. I would like to see the Board of Supervisors support the fair. I'd like to support the food hub. So those are just some of the things. Those are probably not primary responsibilities, so I'll stop there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.